you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Got something to say?
Follow us on Twitter
at TNT Radio Empire
and tweet back. You're listening to the Todd and Tyler Radio Empire.
Yeah, I think they're opening up everything in Texas. We'll find out exactly what they're opening up. But
for my money, most trusted man in America when it comes to this stuff. Buddy Dockhead joining us.
Trusted man in America.
Morning, buddy.
Hey, guys. Hey.
Are you windsurfing?
I'm not anymore.
You're taking advantage of opening Texas and windsurfing. Yeah. All right. I know you're a busy
Thanks
man.
Thanks for making time. We know you're busy.
We want to get your input on your home state. Your home state is pretty much opening everything today. How's this working out?
Yeah, over the weekend, things began opening up. On Friday, they opened up restaurants to about 25%, but a bunch of the small places, yeah, it just doesn't pay them to open up for five people in the restaurant, so they didn't open up. They're still doing a lot of carryout. The theaters opened up. I don't know how that went. I did see a lot more people out and about. The stores opened up, but you have to park and wait for them to bring things out to you other than the grocery stores. They're still open the way they used to be.
Okay.
I don't know how it's going to play out because, you know, the incubation is anywhere from about 2 to 14 days, but the peak when people start having symptoms, guys, is day 4 or 5, and today will be day 4, tomorrow day 5 of the opening up. So we're interested to see if we're going to see a larger number of people turning positive over the next few days.
Man. Is there any
other way to go about this? I guess we got to do this experiment, don't we?
Well, no, we don't have to. What's the medical community think about the governor's actions in Texas?
They don't like it. And the reason we don't like it, and I'm with them, the reason we don't like it is that because the numbers that we were looking at last week, before we opened up, Mike, they were starting to go back up slowly. We were going from a 3 to 4% increase in the state, about 800 to 900 new cases a day, to over 1,000 cases a day. And we peaked, we maybe even haven't peaked. I think on Friday we had 1,100 new cases in the state, which was the highest number that we had had on any given day so far in the pandemic. Now, we're testing more. We're one of the worst states in testing, so we're testing a lot more. We're going to pick up more people. And the number of people in hospitals hasn't gone up. But having said all that, I think I'm worried that we're going to see a second wave as this opens up, because we're not leveling off in Texas, and that's why we thought the governor's move was premature.
Now, I want to ask you this, Doc. I don't know the answer to this. There are people that can be asymptomatic forever. So if you have it and you're asymptomatic, does it go away in you?
Yes.
Okay.
It should go away in you because this is the kind of virus. This is very similar to the routine cold virus, insofar as the type of genetic material that it has. It's similar to influenza in that regard. And people, when they come in contact with the flu, even if they don't get sick with the flu, maybe because they got vaccinated or whatever, the virus will no longer be detectable after a certain period of time. Their immune system is able to eradicate it. We assume that happens. Actually, we know that happens with coronavirus. What we don't know is how many of those people during the same coronavirus season will get it again a second time, be asymptomatic again a second time, but still be able to spread it to other people. And that's what we're starting to look for. We're starting to look for this group of people that are going to get it over and over again. That has already been described in China and South Korea. We're beginning to hear about it in the United States.
Yeah, I'm tired of the narrative of you don't quarantine the healthy, because we don't know who's healthy. You can seem healthy, you can act healthy, but you still might be carrying the virus.
That's why we're all supposed to wear a mask, right, Doc?
That's exactly right. I mean, in many respects, and people I don't think recognize this, but every time I have a chance to talk to, like, I have the privilege of talking to you guys or do something on TV, I try to remind people that you're wearing the mask not really to protect yourself. You're wearing the mask to protect other people. If you're asymptomatic and you're walking around wearing the mask, you're not probably shedding enough virus to be sick, but you may have enough to make somebody else ill. And in that situation, because we don't know who has it and who doesn't yet, we don't have enough tests to detect everybody. You're really wearing the mask in the short run to protect the people around you rather than yourself. And I think if you start thinking about it that way, people tend to wear the mask a little bit more frequently. And almost any mask will do in that situation. Almost any kind of mask will do. You don't need the fancy N95 masks for that purpose.
Yeah, that drug that rest, what's the treatment drug? The rest, what's it called again?
Yeah.
Okay.
Remdesivir.
Yeah. Now, I want to ask you this question. If there's not a vaccine for a year or so, maybe even longer, whatever, and they find something that treats it where people don't die, most people don't die, I realize that elderly with really underlying conditions might die still because they'll die of other things also. I'm not saying they should die. I don't want to be Trump here. But I'm saying is if they find a treatment for most of us would not die, would that open up society as much as the vaccine?
Well, yes. If the treatment were oral or intranasal or easy to administer, Mike, the problem with, and I love remdesivir, we have 17 people on the drug right now, and that's why I missed the call earlier, is I'm putting a new ICU patient in the clinical trial. So
that's why you missed us?
Yeah,
come on.
I apologize. I know. I can't
apologize.
Believe it. I kept yelling. I was yelling at the doctor. The point being, this drug is an intravenous drug only. There's no pill version of it. Right. And it's on Friday, the FDA approved emergency use of this drug, but only for severe COVID. And what that means is people who are hospitalized and who typically need to use oxygen in order to keep their oxygen levels up. So it's only for the most sick people with coronavirus that remdesivir is currently available. We're still doing the trial for the moderately sick, but that doesn't take away the point that this is an intravenous drug that on average requires 10 days of therapy. So it's not like Tamiflu where you pop a pill twice a day for 5 days and you can continue to go to work or stay home until you're better. This is a drug that's intravenous. We still don't have a good oral outpatient option to treat. And we know this hydroxychloroquine is fraught with more side effects than we thought initially. The studies on that are just coming out the last week telling us we have to be really careful with the use of that drug.
I also get tired of the narrative that, more cases are coming up just because they're testing more.
Yeah.
Well, that's the idea, isn't it? We want accurate results. We want to know what the true curve is.
That's it. I mean, we don't know what these rates are. In order to determine the rate and the percentage, you have to have a numerator, and which we have, because we can count all the people who have come in sick or all the people who have tested positive. We've got all those data are accurate, at least in the United States. I can't speak for China or anywhere else, but what we don't know is the denominator. We don't know, apart from the total population, we don't know how many people have been infected but haven't gotten sick. And so we need that bottom number, and that's been the harder thing to develop or to get a handle on, is what is the total number. But with more testing coming available, including the blood test that looks for antibodies, which is a much simpler test, and it comes back faster, hopefully in the next 3 to 4 weeks, we'll get a better feel for what the total burden of disease, how many people have it, even if they're not sick.
Yeah,
and
we look at, countries like Austria, where it seems to be plateauing, places like New Zealand, who haven't had a case for a few days.
No new cases at all in South Korea.
Can we look to them as a model and find out what they're doing right, or is it apples and oranges?
I think so. In theory, we can look and see what types of strategies they've deployed, but we have to recognize that we're completely different in many respects. The federal government doesn't have sway over what goes on in the individual states, and the states don't have as much sway over what goes on in each county or city. So because of the way we set up our government, you know, certain states can remain locked down and shelter in place. Other states can be completely wide open. And maybe that's appropriate for those states. What happens in those smaller countries is they're able to do something almost like we would do on a state level here. So it's different because they can enforce a lot easier than we can in the United States these types of strategies. It's very hard for us when we have a bunch of different strategies going on at the same time.
Dr. Ed with us. Doc, when it comes to you've been an infectious disease doctor your whole life. You're about our age, so you've been doing a long time. I want to ask you this. Are you more nervous around these patients than you were anybody else in the past of any other disease?
Oh, so no. The answer to that is no. And in that respect, I agree with some of my hardcore friends who say, hey, this is no worse than the flu. Well, I disagree that it's not any worse than the flu. I don't know if it is or not. It certainly is as bad as some of the flu years we've seen. But I'll tell you this, I was much more scared during AIDS because when AIDS came around, and a lot of us who are my age, mm-hmm. you know, trained and learned during the AIDS days before we knew what the virus was. We didn't even have a name for it. We didn't know why everybody was dying, and they were dying very, very fast, kind of like this. It reminds me of that, except it was unclear what risk we were at. We didn't know what risk we as healthcare professionals were at.
Got it.
So I was, quite honestly, quite a bit more scared at that point because it took us a while to get a handle on that virus.
Well, that's
because... And you know the guy who did it?
Yeah.
Yeah, the guy who got a handle on that virus was Anthony Fauci.
Fauci, right.
Yeah. Fauci,
I love those videos.
Right.
Those videos of Fauci from the early 80s are popping up now.
I'm
love those.
Sure, yeah. But like us, Doc, during the AIDS epidemic, you were still banging everything in sight.
Well, I didn't say that on the air.
on the air.
You don't have to.
On the air. He was a player.
All right. Let me toss aside the humanity just for a second here, and never mind the fact that millions of people are dying, or millions of people have died, or will die. As a scientist, is this virus thing just fascinating to you?
I'm glad you asked that, because a lot of people ask me, this is your Super Bowl, Ed. You know, this is got you're in the field where everybody's looking at you right now. And the point is, that's true. I would be lying if I didn't admit that the rapidity with which we're learning about this virus, how to deal with it, how it works, everything about the virus, the rapidity with which the knowledge is advancing is mind-numbing, but it's also fascinating. I've given a lecture on this about once a week in different venues here in North Texas and in Texas, and I have to change the slides up every time I give the lecture. There's something new, and for 4, 5, 6 different slides, I have to completely redo. So I've never seen anything move quite as fast as we're seeing here. But I also think that that's for the positive. We're moving to a point where we're winning more battles, guys, than we're losing. When you and I first talked, man, there were days I would come home and I would be despondent. I'd cry a little bit. I'd have a scotch, and I'd think, I don't know what to do for these folks.
Right.
You know, you get on a ventilator, and 95% of people on the ventilators were dying on the ventilators. They weren't coming off. And that the early days of AIDS was just like that. You got on a ventilator, the death rate was 95% or higher. But now people are surviving. We've learned what to do, what not to do. We've got some therapy. If you're sick enough, you get the IV therapy. So, yeah, intellectually, it's very stimulating, and it's becoming more gratifying as a physician because now people are going home. Now, they're not going home in perfect health, but they're going home, and they're able to survive for another battle, and that part is getting better. I'm not as despondent or negative as I used to be 4, 5, 6 weeks ago.
Well, it is better be your World Series because better be your Super Bowl because your World Series is tainted. Remember that.
Yeah.
The Astros.
Yeah, the World Series is tainted. The Astros surge inside out. The Cowboys got Andy Dalton yesterday, so who knows?
That's right. The Cowboys got Andy Dalton. I forgot about
it. Quarterback.
Doc,
yeah, another average quarterback. We're good.
I just stay safe, Doc, and thanks for your expertise. And God, I miss you, man. It's great to have you back on the radio with us. It really is.
Can we count on you
again?
We've been doing this every couple of weeks, so let's have you back again in 2 weeks.
I will definitely do it, and even when this is over, we can talk about other stuff, stuff that's more fun, like rug burn and on the face and all that good stuff.
I'll have to do that.
All the good old days.
I miss it too, Doc. Let's do it. Thanks, man.
All right, be safe, buddy.
All right, my brothers. Take care. Take care, everyone.
All right, love you, bud.
Yeah. Gotta miss him. That's funny. And Dr. Mina, we love you, by the way. You will always be on the show, Dr. Mina. Always be on the show. And more than Dr. Ed, because Dr. Ed is a different situation with us right now. But thank you for checking in. I know Dr. Mina used to listen to Dr. Ed when she was listening to our show when she lived in town. So I just want to throw that out there because we love Dr. Mina, you know.
And he made a great point that I hadn't thought about till yesterday when I saw it on CBS Sunday Morning did a piece about it. And, you know, they're talking to a doctor about the rate with which they're learning things and making discoveries about this is way ahead of the curve.
I know.
As far as history goes.
There's a lot of pressure, and they're also just 24/7 because we're all quarantined. You're right. I'm loving the scientists.
But I love
the scientists.
The example,
and the doctors.
The example the guy gave on CBS Sunday Morning was AIDS, and he said it was like 6 years.
It was 6 years
when they first started seeing it to when they really knew what it was and how to treat it well.
It was a death sentence for years in the '80s. I mean, it was a death sentence. You know?
The message that doesn't seem to be getting out is that we don't have all the answers. Even the scientists will say we don't have all the answers. We're learning a lot. We're learning at a fast pace, but we still don't have all the answers like a lot of people in my Facebook news feed seem to think they have.
They're all doctors, right?
Yes. Every one of them.
Infectious disease experts. And Doc mentioned he's been a doctor since the 80s, so right there. Infectious disease doctor, Dr. Ed, loved and respected. He used to work here in Omaha for years. A lot of people were talking to new Dr. Ed when he lived here. And now lives in Dallas, been here for years. Now,
but unfortunately, it's not conversations like Doc Ed that should go viral instead of a couple of YouTube quacks.
Because they're telling people
the answers they want to hear based on totally bad information.
Well, completely wrong information.
Yeah, I mean, they were denounced up and down in the medical community, so I hope they go away quickly. But unfortunately, they're not going to. That YouTube
because people with a lot of Twitter followers are repeating that crap.
I mean, I think they took that YouTube video down, but somebody found it somewhere, and it's still getting shared.
Well, now because they took it down for a reason, Todd.
The deep state.
Because Fauci's taking money from Wuhan. That's actually out there somewhere. I believe that. Can you see that? That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Now, Dr. Ed did say one thing. And 2 weeks ago, he was going home and crying. And now he's not, but he's still, you know. That's kind of hope we want. Baby steps. I don't want smoke blowing up my ass.
When we first got him back on the show, I was kind of despondent, and he was the one that talked me off the ledge, saying, "Yeah, we are making a little bit of progress."
That's been the third time we've had him on. That was
6 to 8 weeks ago.
Six weeks ago we had him on. All right.
I think it is a silver lining to think about the fact that
they're learning every day.
We're learning so much more about this at such a faster rate than we ever have in the past.
That's why we also don't think that they should yell at people for planning stuff. Doesn't mean it's going to happen, but you got to plan it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, mm-hmm. You don't know.
You got to have things laid out for every scenario, in case. There's got to be a bunch of just in case.
Who doesn't want to see Andy Dalton come in for an injured Dak Prescott and throw an interception?
That's going to be beautiful.
That would be great.
Yeah.
Who doesn't want to see that?
I was thinking about the Astros. It's going to be a lot harder for them to cheat if there's not any crowd.
That's right. You'll hear the can.
All right.
Yeah. Is that a can? Yeah.
Yeah, the signal. No,
they're just going to yell.
Guys,
yell
come on.
Oh, no. They can just yell. Hey, it's a curveball. Because they can hear each other.
Yeah.
Fastball coming your way. Dr. Ed's an Astro fan, in case you don't know that, and he thinks it's tainted, too.
You think they'll just have the guy in the dugout doing the old cough?
Curveball.
Yeah. Curveball. What? Did he say curveball?
Yeah, I think he did.
I think he did.
Yeah. Well, if they play baseball games without crowds, for a lot of these teams, it's not going to be that much different than it was when people were allowed in.
I was raised. Yeah, that's true.
We've only got 5,000 less than last season.
I was at a baseball game years ago. 1,000 people in the crowd. 55,000 seat stadium. You could hear everybody.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
California, man.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, you're not. Nor is the audience.
Apparently, Mexico has done a little more testing because it's surging now there.
Yes.
Yeah, and
build a wall, damn it.
The president seems delighted.
That's surging?
Yeah, because there's problems in Mexico, and now California is considering shutting down the border.
Screw our president.
So he's got to dance about that.
He hammered Bush. Bush came out yesterday, a Republican, and said, can't we all get along, basically? And what's his tweet back? Bush, shut up.
He's like, no.
No, yeah. Right. No, of course we can't. Because keeping the country divided is the way he wins.
You don't support me in that.
Yeah, shut up.
In California, they've got the no bail coronavirus emergency order going, keeping people out of the jails as much as possible. Glendora police say that a man was arrested for stealing a car.
Does that suck for bail bondsmen, since they're not necessary?
Yeah, probably.
In most cases?
Yeah, yeah.
In a lot of cases.
And what's to keep you from just not showing? I mean, sometimes I don't appear for a court case, but they know where to find me.
You're on the radio.
And they find me. Well,
most criminals don't have a radio show.
Right. If you're
just, he's over there.
If you're just a car thief and you get busted and they put you into no bond, you just get to go on your way.
Right.
What's to make you appear in court?
The arrest warrant coming your way?
Yeah, the
avoiding
next time.
That.
You're still arresting people. They're still arresting people.
Yeah.
The next time you get busted.
Then you have an extra charge.
Yeah, right. if you go on your way and then still don't show up for the court date, they will still put an arrest warrant out.
Yeah, but a lot of guys think they're bulletproof. I'm not going to get caught again. But that's the only incentive is, if you get caught, you're going to have to go back to court and you'll probably go to jail this time.
Glendora, California police say that a man was arrested for stealing a car and possessing drugs and stolen property last Wednesday morning. He was let out and arrested an hour later on suspicion of stealing items from front yards. Then later that night, he was arrested again after a pursuit on suspicion of stealing another car. He was released after every arrest under a current policy that lets suspects book for misdemeanors and minor felonies off with only a citation.
Isn't there still a three-strike rule in California, though?
That's three strikes in one day.
Yeah.
Well, they have to be felonies.
They have to be felonies, but...
Yeah, these are not... But these are misdemeanors and minor felonies.
Yeah, but that guy didn't learn his lesson.
Don't they make an excuse? Not at all.
No, he did learn his lesson.
He totally took advantage of the situation.
Okay, that's learning a lesson.
Yeah. But the third time, they just say, well, okay, we're going to break it. We're going to put you in jail.
Yeah, is he finally in jail now?
Right. I don't know.
Or is he out stealing more cars?
I thought this was cool now.
He walks out the front door looking around for another crime.
Yeah. Part of the new normal.
You got to have a way to get around.
Yeah.
Steal a car.
Yeah, Nick's right about that.
Put your Amazon packages in the trunk. Yeah. You're stealing from everybody's porch.
Dr. Ed joined us. Good conversation as usual. Check it out on the podcast, TNTRadioEmpire.com.
You're listening to the Todd and Tyler Radio Empire.
Hey, it's Todd and Tyler.
And thank you for listening to the podcast.
Please take a second to tell us how much you like the podcast.
And don't forget to comment.
Thanks again. On to the next podcast episode.